How long until I move my mic? I'm already like reaching for it, but I'm trying to stop myself, and I know that I'm going to have a moment where I'm not thinking, and it's just like,
oh. Like right there.
Yeah.
Don't touch that water bottle.
This?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Yeah.
This
oh my God.
Oddly same water bottle.
It's not odd because I saw it and it was like, basically, if you weren't talking, you were crinkling that water bottle.
I drink a lot of water.
I know. So I had to go back out in an hour and a half episode or whatever it was and trim out all that stuff.
Well, then don't talk so long and make me thirsty. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Are you unbreakable? I'm Dave, joined by my unbreakable, unflappable co-host.
I'm like Luke Cage.
To my
Iron Ryan, Fist.
Yeah, Ryan Phillippe as Iron Fist. That's Ryan. I am Dave. Our tagline for this week, are you unbreakable? If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. We're maybe tweeting more now. Who knows?
I think we are.
Maybe.
Yeah, but there's new ones up.
Yeah, so this week's a little different. It's so easy to talk about bad movies and be entertaining, so we don't do that.
We don't really talk about good movies and be entertaining. We've never been entertaining once.
We generally try to stay positive. Ryan and I are two dudes who love movies, so we are, for the most part, stay very, very positive. Our lists are always favorite so-and-so. This week, it's a little different. The Visit, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, comes out in theaters. M. Night Shyamalan is one that he's a director most people have an opinion about. I might have a stronger opinion than others on it because he makes me so frustrated. So what we did, instead of each having a list, we are going to collectively talk about the 5 worst M. Night Shyamalan movies since Signs.
And if you're sitting at home trying to play along the take-home version of Movies on Up and you're thinking, all right, what are the 5 worst? There are only 5.
There are only 5. So we're ranking them from what I would consider most watchable.
Best is actually the first one we'll talk about.
Yeah. But before we dig into that list, I know I've talked about Shyamalan before. Sixth Sense, great movie. That's what burst him. I mean, he had that Rosie O'Donnell movie before that, but that's what really put him on the map. Unbreakable, I think, is his best movie. I think Unbreakable is a phenomenal movie.
It's my favorite of his by far.
By far, by far. And I mean, that's not saying much when out of 8 movies, we're considering 5 of them the worst movies. Signs, really good until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, you can argue that kind of the twist in that one is somewhat insulting, and it makes you feel like it's very anticlimactic.
Yeah, it's a build-up for that.
Yeah.
And
that's when things hit the skids.
Yeah, that was kind of the turn because it was like, okay, I saw the trailer for The Village and I said, oh, I bet it's modern day. And they're just from the trailer. It just spiraled downhill from there. But we'll get into that.
Not that it's not relevant now because The Visit comes out. But I look at a director like Neil Blomkamp and I think you are treading the Shyamalan path. You start out so strong with a movie that people love, gets a lot of Oscar attention. Again, Sixth Sense was not Shyamalan's first movie, but that's really what put him out there. And you can say the same thing for Blomkamp, where it's gotten progressively worse. I mean, I liked Chappie, but I didn't like it as much as I liked Elysium, which I didn't like as much as
District 9.
Right.
And yeah. I mean, to be fair, like that's such an odd criticism because how many directors don't even get that one movie?
Don't get one Sixth Sense.
So,
right.
It's so weird because I think Shyamalan has some amazing talent. I think he does some cool stuff visually. I think he's an okay storyteller. Oftentimes, with writer-directors, I always wish, like, I would love to see Kevin Smith write a movie for somebody else. Shyamalan's one of those where I would like to see him direct somebody else's movie that's
or let
in his
somebody
wheelhouse.
Else even direct what he writes.
He was story by credit on Devil, which is one of the worst movies. I think it's worse than any Shyamalan movie. I would like to see him direct something that's in his wheelhouse, that's in that, you know, Signs, Sixth Sense, Unbreakable realm, written by somebody else. Because I think he could put together a pretty good movie. I'm excited for The Visit because it's different. It doesn't look like anything that he's done before. It looks like an attempt at a comedy, which you haven't seen from him.
And the trailer, which has just started hitting, well, I mean, when we recorded this, it just started hitting
3 months ago.
Yeah, television this week. And it does seem very dark, but a very dark humor, which is something in our preview.
Not what I would expect from
right.
him.
We said that seems like a departure. And even in these movies that we're going to talk about, not a one of them is intentionally funny.
That's the perfect segue to start the list, because we talk about he's never done comedy, really, making it intentionally funny. I think the most watchable of the post-Shyamalan movies may be a controversial decision, but I think the number five worst Shyamalan movie since Signs is 2008's The Happening, starring Marky Mark, Zooey Deschanel, John Leguizamo. This movie's terrible. This movie is so bad.
And it's only going to get worse from here, folks.
The thing is, though, is there's still cool stuff in it. The suicide scenes, like especially in, where was it, Paris? There's mm-hmm. some really cool stuff there.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. The Happening.
Well, I mean, it's like the very end of the movie.
Yeah. Like, there's some really, really cool stuff. The only thing wrong with this movie is the plot and the directing. And I'm going to blame it on the directing because Marky Mark's a good actor. Not in this movie.
No, I think he's horribly miscast as like the guy that's going to save us with his brains.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the science teacher. And Zooey Deschanel, I like her. She's really good in stuff like Winter Passing, but just she has one line. I can't remember the line right now where she's sitting on the couch and it sounds like a line you would write for a 3-year-old. The way she delivers it is so terrible. And it's like, I know she's better than that. So I blame him for the bad acting and The Happening, but there were cool ideas there. Not the trees part. Cut out the trees part.
There's a couple points I want to make, and I don't even know where to start because it sort of piggybacks off of both things that you just said. I think I'll start with the suicides. Graphically, visually, you know, they looked cool.
Yeah.
And that's what Shyamalan to this point had not directed an R-rated movie. So this was his first foray into R-rated, and it definitely seemed like he wanted to earn that. And with the suicides, they were particularly gory. I don't think they needed to be. I really think he could have gotten across the same message shooting how he usually does. Implied gore, I think, would have been great there. To me, it just seemed like the R-rating and the over-the-top for him gore was just a gimmick to get people in. His movies just seem gimmicky, one reason or the other. If it's a twist, you know, if it's this one, hey, come check out M. Night Shyamalan's first R-rated movie. You're all crap your pants. It felt forced to me, and I don't think it needed to be. And the whole trees aspect, again, I get what you're saying. Okay, humans are bad. We're destroying the Earth. The Earth is trying to fight back and purge us. All right, I get that. But you're hit over the head with it so badly by the end of the movie. Like, I get it. All right, we're terrible.
When they're running from the wind, that, I think,
they're just running against the wind.
Yeah. Like I said, there's good ideas. It just was so,
I do think that at least the movie was marketed well because it came to, like, Shyamalan, R-rated movie, Mark Wahlberg, check it out. And they didn't tell you. Like, you didn't know how dumb the premise was.
And this is where,
and it made a ton of money because of it.
And this is where I lost a lot of respect for Shyamalan, because he didn't own it. It was marketed as a serious thriller. It was marketed like, oh, it's from the director of Sixth Sense and Unbreakable. Here's this dark, R-rated drama. And then people just laughed at it. And then he comes out saying, like, oh, we were trying to make a big-budget campy movie. It's like when you break up with somebody, like, oh, I was totally nailing her friend anyway. Like, that's what it feels like. Is like,
it's revisionist history. Like, yes. Everybody thought it was a joke, so you may as well say it's a joke.
Yes, yes. It would be like Casper Van Dien saying, like, we were making a B-movie with Starship Troopers.
That was campy.
Yeah, don't tell Casper Van Dien that. But it made me lose a lot of respect for Shyamalan because he didn't own it. Perhaps that's a little unfair that's being on number five. Because number four, it's not a terrible movie. It's a bad movie. But I feel like there's good stuff there. but I guess the ending from the trailer. It is 2004's The Village. I thought you had some pretty good performances in here. Bryce Dallas Howard, I thought Joaquin.
William Hurt, yeah, Sigourney.
You had a fantastic cast, and I feel like it was delivered pretty well. Way different than The Happening. Because you have these talented actors that actually... And that's what killed me. That's where The Happening made no sense to me, because Signs, Unbreakable, Sixth Sense, very well-acted movies. Granted, Marky Mark isn't Mel Gibson or Bruce Willis.
Is he Haley Joel Osment?
Yeah.
Do you mean Academy Award nominee Mark Wahlberg? Is that who you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Just checking.
Signs, I could pick out the 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes. That's where that movie falls apart. The Happening, I could pick out the entire plot. That's where that movie falls apart. The Village is a little harder. You watch it, and it's like, this shouldn't be as unsatisfying as it is.
And I think there are two reasons for that. Number one, and you hit it right on the head, you guessed the ending from the trailer, because it said, from director M. Night Shyamalan, the guy who brought you Sixth Sense. And I think that is, like, as a movie going public, as great as it was to get tricked in The Sixth Sense, we were all like, all right, fuck you, Shyamalan. Never again. Never again will I be Shyamalan'd in a movie theater. If this was an Alan Smithy movie and you had no idea who directed it, or it wasn't the guy that just tricked you a couple years earlier.
James Wan movie.
Yeah, there's no way. I don't think there's any way you see the trailer and go, oh, that's in modern times.
Yeah.
You would just buy it as like a period horror movie, which I think it does a good job of being up until the twist, which happens too early in the movie.
Yeah.
Because there's way too much after it, this exposition of, oh no, trust me, them living out in the middle of the woods, it's plausible, and here's why. And all that is delivered by Shyamalan.
And I don't feel like the horror was done as well as it should have. I feel like it could have been built up a little more. I feel like you open it up, it was a great horror premise that you could have done a lot more with.
Absolutely. They could have messed with you more.
That he didn't.
Right.
The Village is one of those, like, it's probably his best movie on this list.
It's my favorite on this list.
Yeah, I had to put The Happening 5.
That's fine.
Number three came at a time where, you know, he had that run where everything was kind of he wasn't making the same movie, but he was making the same movie. And I realize that makes no sense, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Like, it makes perfect sense, right? Like, he's making different movies, but they were the same. They were M. Night Shyamalan movies.
I do think that his name, by this point, or whatever point we're at, because I don't really know what the number three is. Let's say it came out in 2013. I'm not real sure.
In 2010.
To a certain extent, everything was an M. Night Shyamalan movie. This one seemed different because it wasn't a story that he wrote. It was something he adapted that was pretty popular on its own.
It was The Last Airbender is what we're talking about. 2010's Avatar, The Last Airbender. Based on a really cool cartoon, didn't really translate it, though.
From what I understand, and I'm not a fan of the movie, and I'm not a fan of the cartoon, I just don't care. I know a lot of people that do like it a lot, so I'm not going to bag the cartoon. But it did seem like there were inconsistencies in his adaptation. So some of the things that the diehard cartoon guys really liked in that series didn't translate, I think, is a good way to describe it. Just didn't show up in that movie. It was M. Night Shyamalan's version of what this successful cartoon should be.
And this is another one of those. Visually, there's some really cool stuff in it.
Absolutely.
Like, he's set up for that. Like, visually, it's a cool story. He translated that well. I think it was horribly cast.
Dev Patel was great. Like,
yeah,
in this movie.
For this, yeah.
I think that just shows you how good of an actor he is, that he took this script, which was garbage, and the rest of the movie around him is a complete dumpster fire, if you'll pardon the expression, but as, like, the Fire Lord, or whatever the hell he was, I thought he was actually passable in the movie. I don't know how he did it. He's definitely got some serious chops, but to act in basically a special effects barrage and little else, and actually deliver, I give him credit
for
that.
That's my compliment, is probably also its biggest detriment, is that there are times where he relied too much on the visual stuff. And there was just, the story was weak, the writing was bad, the direction was terrible, the pacing was way off for this. And I like the cartoon, and I think the spinoff, Korra, is way, way better. But the story's cool enough that it should have been a cool adaptation. I don't know how he gets that job. I don't know in what world adapting Avatar The Last Airbender, where in the world does M. Night Shyamalan's name get thrown out in there?
It almost seems like that's one of those deals where you have to make this in order to make something that you do want to make. But I can't really, I mean, unless, I don't know what studio it was that put that out, but like sort of had him on a two-picture deal or something and they didn't have anybody else. Because you're right, what he had done up to that point, in no way, shape, or form did that scream, let me adapt anything, let alone, you know, a really popular cartoon.
And I get it. I like when directors do something different. And he needed that because, like I said, everything felt the same up until this. So I'm all for him branching out and doing something different. I just don't think this was the project. Up to our number two, another one of him trying to kind of go out and do something a little different. And another one where he takes a quality lead and just makes them incredibly boring is 2013's After Earth. I love Will Smith. I don't like Jaden Smith. You build this movie around the both of them and you rely heavily on Jaden to kind of carry
the movie.
Yeah, and I think that's mistake number one. I think mistake number two is it's a stupid premise. I mean, it's a good premise, but it's done stupidly. We've been off Earth for how many years? And everything is now evolving just for the purpose of killing humans, something that hasn't been there
for a long time.
So it's a step backwards. The effects were really bad. He had a chance to do something cool visually with the set pieces and stuff, and I feel like he fell flat. Airbender actually had really good set pieces. Like, it looked cool. There was some cool stuff. This, he had that opportunity, and he just didn't. I don't know if it got too big. I think this is probably his biggest budget, maybe. Not looking it up, but I would say this or Airbender are pretty close.
Yeah, I would say you're probably right.
But it just felt like he didn't know what to do with it.
It tells you all you need to know when the star of the movie says it was one of the biggest mistakes of his career, and he regrets dragging his son into the project. And I do agree with Will Smith that it was a mess of a movie, but I do think part of it was Jaden having or not having the chops to carry this. He was the lead in The Karate Kid, which came out a couple years before, but he had another actor in the scenes with him to play off. In this one, he was separated from his dad. Yeah, you could interact with them and sort of bounce lines off each other, I guess, but just not there in that same space made him have to act with a lot of poor CG, and it didn't really work there. You would think that perhaps, and maybe it's unfair to Jaden to think that, oh, well, that's Will Smith's kid, and Will Smith is amazing. This dude is a movie star. We mentioned it when we did our favorite rapper movies, and I happen to like me some Will Smith. You can see it early on in his career from Bad Boys. You know this guy's a movie star.
6 degrees of separation even.
Like. Yeah, like he's a movie star and can carry movies. So you just assume that's somehow, and you know, with his wife being Jada, who's a great actor too, you think that it's genetic and he's going to be fine. But he's not. So that makes it really, really crappy. But I think that, again, I think it suffers from Shyamalan syndrome. If it was a random sci-fi movie,
it's gimmicky. Hey, it's Will Smith and his son.
Right. If it wasn't Shyamalan and it was two other actors.
If it's Denzel Washington and Michael B. Jordan, it's a good movie, I think.
Oh, it's going to be much better because Michael B. Jordan's a really good
actor.
But
I mean, if you up each of their ages a little bit and say you throw Denzel in Will Smith's role and Michael B. Jordan carrying the movie, or anybody that can carry a movie in there, you have an okay movie. It just comes down to execution, and that's kind of a theme here.
Execution, and like we said in The Happening, I feel like, again, he's got this giant mallet that he's just whacking you over the head with throughout the movie, and it comes up umpteen times, is this idea of, like, you can control your fear, and fear is, it's only a projection in your mind. They just smash you with that so much. I feel like if there's anything that you can say about Shyamalan, it's not that he's subtle, and he's got a point that he's trying to get across in this, obviously, and in The Happening, obviously, and in our number one, I think there's some point in there. I'm not really sure what it is. But he just keeps throwing it at you, thinking, well, maybe if I'm not able to articulate it well enough in this scene, maybe if I do the exact same thing 20 minutes later, that it'll finally sink in if it's just a repetition thing. But I honestly think that, a bit like The Village, I think that this movie is a mediocre genre movie, that if it were directed by someone else, it probably wouldn't be clowned as much as it is. Because really, by the time we get to After Earth, he is square in the middle of just suckdom. And I don't think that that helps. Every movie is going to be more difficult for him to get out of that because people expect crap from him now.
We've brought up marketing, how I thought Happening was marketed wrong. I thought The Village was marketed
wrong. I thought Happening was marketed brilliantly.
Well, yeah, no.
Because it made $146 million. No, that movie did.
That was worded poorly. It was marketed greatly.
Okay.
It was marketed wrong. They did a great job marketing.
They tricked you.
Yes, because
yes,
it got people
absolutely
in to see a crappy movie, but it was just marketed as a different movie. That kind of killed After Earth, too, because if this is, replace this with Oblivion. Oblivion comes out
in
April, makes a ton of money. Well, for what it is, you throw a throwaway sci-fi movie in April, it's not as big of a dumpster fire. You throw it out in blockbuster season and hype it up and try to pretend it's a blockbuster, you're opening yourself up when it's not. And that's why I kind of like The Visit. It's just a random movie in September. It's just kind of in there. I haven't seen a lot of ads, but I don't really think they're shoving Shyamalan down the throat.
No, yeah, they're not.
Because look at when Kevin Smith went studio. Cop Out. Kevin Smith's name was nowhere in those trailers at all. Like, at no point was it a Kevin Smith film. Maybe that's what Shyamalan needs now, is he needs to just step back, focus on making some movies, and not be the star.
I honestly think he should pull a Chris Gaines, because his name right now is literally mud. His talent is much better than that.
Yeah.
And I think if people didn't, he's, for better or worse, and it's for worse now, which is a complete 180. When Science came out, an M. Night Shyamalan movie, we wanted to go see because we knew.
Our opening night.
Yeah. Based on track record, this is going to be great. Now it's flipped. Now we expect an M. Night Shyamalan movie to suck.
Yeah.
And The Visit could be good. But you and I are expecting suck because that's what we've got for like the last decade.
And that's why he needs something like Cop Out. If he were to make a movie that was good, take a movie like It Follows, something that got that kind of buzz. You see a movie that you like It Follows, and oh crap, it's directed by Shyamalan, but not marketed like that. I think he has that kind of potential. I think he can make a movie on a small scale and get out of his own way and put together a cool thing. And then you just realize it's a Shyamalan movie. And you don't go in, I'm going to see a Shyamalan movie.
Which is exactly what The Sixth Sense was. We didn't know what an M. Night Shyamalan movie was.
That almost feels kind of like what Visit is, to an extent.
Right.
We know, but
kind of has that potential, maybe, to be a good movie. But I think he's, at this point, the victim of his own lack of success recently. That's a name that's now associated with failure. And anytime he puts his name on something, even if it is Devil, he didn't direct it. Story by credit. I think he was a producer on it.
Yeah, and it was marketed as M. Night Shyamalan Presents.
Right. I was like, I don't want to see this movie. Because if it has anything to do with Shyamalan, with his recent track record, it's going to suck. It did. I was right.
And I believe when Devil came out, I could be wrong. I feel like that was supposed to be part of a series of M. Night Shyamalan.
I think it was, yeah. Like,
M. Night Shyamalan Presents.
Yeah.
But that movie was so bad. I would say it's even worse than our number one. You might disagree.
No way. No way.
Our number one, if you're counting at home, there's only one left. It is 2006's Lady in the Water. Ryan has a lot more to say about it than I do, so I just want to get what I have out of the way, and then I'll let him swim with it. This felt like Shyamalan making a Stephen King movie. You had the overdone quirky characters. It felt like a Stephen King movie made by M. Night Shyamalan.
I think Stephen King actually liked this movie quite a bit.
So
it's kind of just maybe very appropriate that you picked that you think it's like a Stephen King movie. I think it's like a steaming pile of garbage. And
it could be one and the same.
Yeah, well, I will give him credit Because I feel like in this, he did try something different. He was kind of known for doing the twist kind of things. And this, I mean, this was 2006, so it's before The Happening. It's before After Earth.
Before Last Airbender.
Right. So basically, it's the second, chronologically, the second on our list. And The Village, again, was kind of known for its twist. So to me, that seemed like the gimmick that Shyamalan was using. And for better or worse, he seemed like he wanted to really try and divorce himself from what people thought an M. Night Shyamalan movie was. So, okay, kudos for that. And it seemed like he was trying to tell like a fairy tale with some kind of deeply personal story about, you know, a guy that's got something bottled up inside of him that he just can't seem to get out. And maybe that's was very personal for him. I don't know. I don't think it's a coincidence that within that story, he's featured very heavily in this movie. As much talent as he may have as a director, he doesn't have it as an actor. He's god-awful. And then when you put him up against Paul Giamatti, who, bless his heart, is doing
he
a great...
He gave it his all.
Yeah, he did. But you can put lipstick on a pig, but you've still got a pig.
This was him getting in his own way because Sixth Sense, he's, what, in the jewelry store?
Yeah.
Unbreakable, he's at a car accident scene.
He had been giving himself cameos.
There were signs he was at the car accident
Hitchcock
scene, yeah.
did that. But he never spoke. Like, yeah. He would just show up
like
as an extra.
He had a couple lines, but, like, yeah. He was just in there for... He was a Stan Lee cameo in his own movies.
Right.
Until Lady in the Water. On paper, I love this movie. I love what this movie should be.
But that's
really
my problem.
Do. I know.
I don't know what this movie is. I don't know if it's like a Stardust kind of movie that you would show your kids.
A fairy tale for adults, essentially. Like,
or is it for adults?
I don't know. Like, that's a good idea. Terrible execution. I think there's a theme here.
Every other movie on our list, I know what it is. I understand. Even Airbender, which sucked. I know what that is. That's a movie for a 9-year-old to watch because he liked the cartoon and check out all this action. I get that. It made like $300 million worldwide. So somewhere along the way, people figured that out and they liked it. The Village, I get that too. I understand the genre.
Yeah.
After Earth, it's a sci-fi movie. It's a father-son relationship. It's about conquering your fear. I don't know what this is.
Fairy tale, family, I don't know. Like, that's a perfect point. Coming of age, almost, like Paul Giamatti's character, kind of going through that kind of crisis.
Yeah, I guess. But at this point, we're just like, maybe it's that. And I think that's where, when you said he's maybe not a great storyteller, this, to me, is the proof of that. Because of any of the movies, this one seems like it would be or should be the most story-driven. And this is the messiest of them all, because the story is just...
This is...
You're like, do I need to be on drugs to appreciate this?
It's one of those that
this?
I feel like if he outlines the story and gives it to a good screenwriter, I think you have a good movie. Because you know what? Giamatti gave it his all. I even thought Bryce Dallas Howard was good.
Yeah.
She didn't have to do much, but I hated Freddie Rodriguez or whatever. That felt like a Stephen King character to me with the curls and the one arm. And this movie ultimately sums up his entire career. Like, I could see why it would be good, but it's so far from that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a movie like, and not to, I guess, keep bringing up Stardust, but I think Matthew Vaughn would do a great job with this movie, or a movie like this.
Yeah.
Stardust, is that a movie you can show your kids? Absolutely. Yeah. Is it a movie that you can like as an adult? Sure. Lady in the Water's neither.
I see the comparison. It's a little... almost unfair because Stardust is a sweeping movie that covers this wide landscape.
It's epic. Yeah,
this
I
is
understand.
An apartment complex.
Right.
But I 100% get what you're going for. It's
They're
a
both
fantasy,
fantasy
movie.
Movies,
it's supposed
right.
to. It's supposed to. Are they both fantasy movies?
I
They're
think.
Supposed to be fantasy movies.
One of them is.
You take a movie like Ondine, the Colin Farrell mermaid movie, and I feel like it's more what this movie wanted to be than what this movie is.
That's a better example than, you know, like a giant fantasy movie like Stardust. But I want to give him credit for trying something different. I just don't ever want him to try that again.
No.
Or at least maybe direct somebody else's
and
fantasy story.
He does cool stuff visually. He just sucks at everything else. Like
Recently,
everything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Signs is really, really good until that last 10 minutes. But I hate that movie because of that last 10 minutes.
It seems like that right there, that is the fracture point of where his career went to shit.
Yeah.
It's not.
I can pinpoint it to that exact moment when you walk in and the alien's holding the Culkin boy.
Mm.
Like, I think it was the Culkin boy that he was holding.
Yeah.
Or the daughter. Like, that's it. Like, that's the moment.
It's usually like a movie that you circle and say that's where it went wrong. But no, it's 10 minutes,
you know what?
Of
Signs,
a movie. And then
Signs has some awesome stuff in it. The alien hand under the pantry door. Like the birthday party scene, there is some awesome stuff in Signs.
There's some
phenomenal stuff.
As much as we love or somebody loves James Wan now, that's what Shyamalan was doing in better movies then.
Yeah.
And I hate to completely shit talk a guy because those first three movies, I love.
Most people don't get a three movie run.
Exactly.
So I mean, it's
and I want to see him get back because I feel like he's got good stuff in him. I don't know if it's gonna take, and I hate to say it, but like if it's gonna take an Unbreakable 2,
which I would love.
I would absolutely love that.
For an Unbreakable
and
2.
I would completely put aside all the feelings I have now about what M. Night Shyamalan's like. If I knew that I was getting Unbreakable, I'd be like, all right, well, this is gonna be the litmus test. This can get him back on track.
Because you know what? Like, we talked about storytelling, and I feel like Sixth Sense was... I don't think Sixth Sense holds up as well as other movies. I think it's a good movie.
You've seen it once, and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think it holds up in 2015 like it did in 97 or 98. Unbreakable is such a goddamn beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenal superhero origin story, and... It's supervillain movie at the same
story,
time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a beautifully crafted story because it's not Shyamalan-y.
It's what Chronicle should be, and I like Chronicle.
It's, this is going to be the weirdest comparison of weird comparisons. I look at it like Rushmore to Bottle Rocket because Bottle Rocket had this quirk uniqueness to it. Rushmore had this quirk uniqueness to it, but it escalated a little bit, but not over the top.
It was like mainstream.
And then everything
quirk.
Since then, he knew what he was supposed to be doing, and that's what he stuck to.
Right.
This, I feel like, is his Rushmore, because he knew what worked on The Sixth Sense, but yet he wasn't tied down by it. So you don't get the constant twists and everything. Like, I guess it's a twist at the end, but you kind of see it coming. It definitely doesn't kick you like Sixth Sense did, but there's no hurry here. Like, he takes his time to tell a story.
And when that happens, the Sammy Jackson thing, that's the very end of the movie.
Yes. Whereas The Village, we talked about, it happens too early. He tried to tell too much story with The Village.
Yes.
And it was a mess.
Right.
Unbreakable, he just focused, here's the story I'm telling, this is it. Sixth Sense, you're on Bruce Willis. Unbreakable, you're on Bruce Willis. And that's where maybe he was trying to get back to that with After Earth, because you're Jaden.
Yeah.
Jaden Smith isn't Bruce Willis.
No.
Sorry. Because even Signs, to an extent, yeah, you had Culkin and Joaquin, but it was a Mel Gibson movie.
Right.
100% it's a Mel Gibson movie. And Lady in the Water had a little bit of that with Giamatti, but there was so much other stuff going on.
And it's not tight. You said
Unbreakable
it.
Was focused and tight.
Yeah, you're
Sixth
on
Sense
there.
Focused and tight.
You understand the plot all the time.
Signs even.
Yeah.
You could say the same thing there.
He wanders. And I wonder if getting back, literally getting back to your roots, and with the way comic book movies are now, basically it would fit in so wonderfully nowadays. I think Unbreakable, it was before superhero movies were cool, and it wasn't marketed as a superhero movie, but that's exactly what it is.
I don't think most people even now consider it a superhero movie.
No, because there's no capes.
No, it's not based on a comic book, but it's a superhero movie.
Absolutely. Man.
I mean, it's a slow burn for a superhero movie. Like, him in the orange jacket, like, in the pool. That's an awesome... You talk about Happening beats you over the head. Like, The Village beats you over the head. After Earth beats you over the head. This is subtle. This is a slow burn, and it takes its time to make the points it's going to make.
And it seems like, obviously, we know where it went wrong, but why did it go wrong? Like, why did you just stop doing...
And that's the... that's the thing. When you make a movie as... for lack of a better term, is beautiful as Unbreakable, I'm always going to have interest in you. This episode is the worst Shyamalan movies.
You know what it's you know what he's capable
of. I feel like we're being fairly – we could do a worse other directors and talk nearly as positively about him. He's one of those that I feel like there's another couple phenomenal movies in there. And I just feel like he's going to have that Affleck comeback to where we've sat through his Daredevil years – but I feel like his Argo's coming up, and The Visit may be that first step there.
Right.
And, you know, maybe there's another one or two steps before that, but I just don't think we've heard the last of M. Night Shyamalan. I mean that in a positive way. I feel like he will remind people that he made The Sixth Sense, and he made Unbreakable, and he made all but the last 10 minutes of Signs. Like, I feel like there's something there. And whether it's him doing a script by somebody else or if he has something else in him, we'll see. I mean, he was spitting those movies out every 2 years, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
I think that was... He was kind of a victim of the machine in there. Wow.
He was spitting out because you had...
Lady in the Water is 2006. The Happening is 2008.
Village was 2004. Signs, 2002.
Airbender was 2010. So,
From 99 was The Sixth Sense. From 2000 till 2010, he was every 2 years.
Yeah.
And when you're writing your own stuff and directing your
own
stuff.
With the exception of Airbender, yeah. I mean, everything else came from him. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I hope he gets back to doing. And I'm not saying, like, you need to make The Sixth Sense again. Make The Seventh Sense. Or you need to make Unbreakable 2. But give me movies like that.
Just execute.
Exactly.
I like the ideas of pretty much everything we've talked about today. It's just been executed.
Yeah, he's completely capable of doing it. And I just, selfishly, I want it again because they're great movies. Yeah. And I just want to watch another great M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, maybe The Visit will be that. Thanks for visiting us this week as we stepped a little bit out of the positive and tried to get as negative as we can. But when we talk movies,
eliminated
we're
the positive
something.
And accentuated the negative.
But next week we have another episode. Hope you're listening to our news episodes that we're trying to do weekly. If you have suggestions for anything you want to see us do.
If you'd like to hear us do maybe a top five gangster movies, we might be able to accommodate you on that.
Or if you want to hear favorite vampire movies, maybe that was last
maybe
week.
Maybe we already
something.
Did that.
I don't know. Email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Please, we're very open to feedback. We're trying to make the news episodes something cool that are a little different. We're trying to keep these cool, but we're always looking to improve. So open to suggestions. Hit us at moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, twitter@moviesonup. If you know that the tagline from this week was from Unbreakable, hit us up at any of those and you may win the Movies on Up prize package.
It's full of M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Yes, yes.
Not the good ones.
Check out our news episode. Check me out at Dave Bacella on Twitter, davebacella.com. Podcast.com is all my other shows. But until then, we'll be back next week, ganging it up.
Gangnam style. But until then,
keep it up.